Most High, I come to you giving you thanks and praise for keeping me in sound body and mind. I ask you to forgive me for all my indiscretions, all that I have done and all that I will do. I ask you to open me up, use me as your vessel, let my voice be yours. Speak your mission through me, allow the listeners to open up and receive it the way you intended. No holds barred. Use me.
I look at the news and I Ubuntu Radio is back with our first guest, and one of the reasons that we started Ubuntu Radio was hearing stories from the ladies now sitting across the table from me. She was my first guest. I usually do my interviews at my house by my computer. I am in the field on location right now with Miss Ansay, the one and only. By the way, the house is lovely. It's She lives in a gated community. She's so bougie. She lives in a gated community in Durham. I'm just so... Me, just a poor black man that I am, I didn't know if I was welcomed here. But I feel like I am welcome. And thank you very much for the invitation. And thank you very much for setting aside some time to talk to us. But what will we be talking about, Ms. Nancy? What has happened in the world since 2014?
Oh, sweet Lord. What hasn't happened?
In the last conversation we had, you were talking about an event at your high school mm-hmm. where the students were organizing a protest, mm-hmm. a die-in, because of all the things that have been happening, specifically something I think happened locally in Durham mm-hmm. around that time. Mm-hmm. So what has the mood been? Again, you're an educator, English teacher at a predominantly white high school. You teach mostly AG kids. Mm-hmm. So these are intelligent human beings, or you're making sure they're becoming intelligent. What has been going on from their perspective and from your perspective as an educator vis-a-vis the black-ish that's been going on in the last couple of years?
I would say that the focus has largely been on recently in a really, really real way. Not even like domestic issues involving African-Americans, but more so like the status and safety of minority groups at large. Especially in the era under the current president.
Do you just call the number or do you call him? Is he that should not be named?
He's just the president.
Oh, so, okay.
He's
okay.
The president.
Okay.
And so I've seen very, very real fears from my students, many of whom are refugees. They are students who received asylum. They are students who are documented themselves, but are the children or relatives of undocumented people. They are Muslim. They are LGBTQIA. They are some form of minority, and their fears are very, very real, and they have been substantiated in very real ways. And as an educator, it's been very difficult to assuage those fears when they are valid. And so it becomes more about educating them in terms of these are the checks and balances of our government. These are going to be the safeguards that you may have. But most importantly, knowing that they have an advocate in school, that no one in school is going to report your immigration status or out you to your parents or, force you into an unsafe situation in a restroom. Or discriminate against you on the basis of your religion or the basis of your socioeconomic status. So school has taken on a far more important role in educating. Like, I've had more kids this year ask me non-academic but fact-based questions than maybe ever. I found that my job as an educator has become more important in doing that. That one of the best ways to try to stay safe is to be informed, to know what your rights are, to know what your options are, to know what should and should not happen, and how to find resources so that when a kid comes to me, I can go, well, I don't know, sweetheart, I don't, but here are some community resources, here are some people you can reach out to. What I can assure you is XYZ things won't happen in this classroom or in this school.
in terms of activism, because the lower socioeconomic kids, the ones that are most vulnerable under these current policies, feel fear, are they hesitant and reticent to step out and speak? And if so, do you feel some kind of way about the higher socioeconomic kids then having the sort of latitude to, because they understand what's going on, to speak, but they're not, they're speaking for themselves and not for the lower kids?
I've very, very, very much been impressed by my, particularly my Latino students, who most recently, huge swaths of my students were absent for the Day Without Immigrants. And sure. I was incredibly proud of my students. They came to me, they emailed me, they let me know. It's a really important day in the Latino community, in the immigrant community, and this is what we're going to be doing. I'm going to be, you know, staying out of school and protesting, you know, all of these various executive orders and regulations and just a mindset shift we've seen toward immigrants. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I gave them their work. I told them, way to speak truth to power. I'll see you when you get back. As much as you need allies, I also think it's very important for students to learn to advocate for themselves.
Right.
And I've been very proud that particularly my Latino students have done so and been very open about that.
Si se puede.
Si.
Si se puede.
Si.
Well, we're here with Miss Ansi, educated black woman in North Carolina. We are going to get to, I think, what the people want to know, what I want to know, what's going on with your love life, with the dating world, mm-hmm. what you're doing on that end, because mm-hmm. it's glad that you're helping the kids, because Tricky love to help the kids. Tricky love to help the kids. It's all about the kids, Miss Ansi. You go to work every day to teach and reach and educate the kids. But we want to know about what's going on with you. We're going to get there. But okay. I'm going to give you one last question, and then we're going to sum up this mess since the election. You've dealt with words and the power of words in all your professional life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. In terms of what this government, I'm not going to say govern, government is doing mm-hmm. in terms of language mm-hmm. and the misappropriation of words, and call it what it is, lies. I'll let you offer a critique on that if you don't want to blatantly talk about the administration and policy, because there's too much going on for policy. But I think one of their most grievous sins is what they do with words. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let you speak about that. Then we're going to be done with the Cheeto Satan and all his acolytes. We're going to be done with him.
I think the problem is when you are someone who knows words, and you know what words mean, nothing that's put forth really makes sense, because it's like the Princess Bride. It's like, if you are a thinking, sentient, even partially aware person, you are walking through life like Inigo Montoya, and you keep hearing people use words, and you just want to say, you keep using this word, but it does not mean what you think it means. You keep using this word, but I do not think it means what you think it means. That is how I feel watching most of the spokespeople. Sean Spicer, the infamous press secretary, the current president, most of the people in his administration, most of the leadership of the GOP. I'm like, you use words. And either they don't mean what you think they mean, or you don't think we know what we mean. What they
so
mean.
So, for your definition, immigrant doesn't mean being dragged from Africa on a slave ship,
exactly,
and stored for 3 months, whipped and thrown. That's not immigrant. That's not the meaning of immigrant.
And see, the problem is,
okay.
The problem is, if you go along with the way these things are presented, you start to question your own, you're being gaslit.
Give us somebody a synopsis of that.
So, a gaslight is a play from the early 20th century where this woman believes she is losing her mind because the lamps in her house, which are gas, will flare and go down. And they'll flare and they go down. And when she points out her husband to this out to her husband, she's like, did you just see the lamps flare and then go down? And he's like, no, sweetheart, nobody saw that. And she's like, but I'm... And it happens sometimes when she's by herself. And when he comes in the room, like, she's like, sweetheart, it did it again. Like, the lamps just flared and they went down. And he's like, no, honey, they didn't. And basically, you should still watch the play. There's also film versions. But basically, in the play, you find out that the husband's cheating and all these things are going on. And she invites someone over who sees the lights flare and go down. And she's like, oh, don't worry. And he's like, why did your lamps just... She's like, you saw that too? And he's like, of course I saw it. The lamps just flared and they went back down. And they trace it and find out that this husband has tampered with the gas lines and they're on a timer that causes the gas to increase and they flare up and go down. And basically, he's trying to drive his wife crazy so she will kill herself. To be gaslit, which has now become a verb, is simply to take facts that someone sees for themselves and say, you are not seeing what you are seeing. To the point that the person who sees the fact begins to doubt their own sanity. And when someone continually doubts your sanity, it will cause an intellectual and an emotional and a psychological break. And you go along with whatever bullshit they put out there because you doubt yourself. And if you don't recognize when you are being gaslit, you will not fight back. You will not reject. And I don't necessarily mean physically fight, but you will not reject bullshit when you hear it. I would much rather deal with, I mean, I think we all would, simply deal with someone who has enough respect for me to simply disagree with me, than someone who disrespects me enough to lie to my face and assume that either I don't have the power to challenge it, or I'm not smart enough to challenge it, or that they don't know any better. And they live in a world of delusion and psychosis, which I think our current president does. And so they just make things up because it keeps the party going in their own heads. And that's dangerous, particularly when that person is the leader of the free world. When you're willing to just make whatever up to keep the party going in your own mind, that's scary.
You heard it here. I'm sure you have, if you haven't heard it anywhere else. You heard it from Miss Ansi. And we're going to be done with...
Sounds good.
Cheeto Satan. We're done. Okay. We're done. The
Sounds
administration
good.
Is what it is, and it will do what it will do, and you'll be here to educate us, hopefully, over the next 3 years to keep resisting. But we do want to get to you, Miss Ansi.
Mm-hmm.
The dating life again. We started this podcast, and one of my first topics was your life, really.
Better
life. And the adventures in Miss... Basically... We were doing, what's the Issa Rae show? We were doing it on podcast form before. Do you think we should collect some money? Because we were doing awkward black girl, but you were woman. And you ain't awkward. You're educated, intelligent, articulate, eloquent. If you have not listened to her speak, go back and listen maybe a second time over the last couple of minutes. But we were doing that, the misadventures of a black woman dating in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I remember stories about a Russian scientist. I remember a story about a reporter from the Pacific Northwest who tried to kiss a sister early on in the relationship. I remember you having to leave a date, run into the bathroom to have your friend call you cell phone while you went back to the table just so you could pick up and say, oh, I gotta go. I'm sorry, but I gotta go.
Yeah.
I remember you.
Yeah.
Ending a date early and taking the gentleman to see a movie just so you didn't have to sit and talk to him. So all that is in the past.
It's all in the past.
What is the present? What is the gift of love? The gift of love that is in your heart right now that you would laugh at these situations now, but you're laughing because you know there's something better going on at this moment. If there was not better, now you go, what the Lord, Yahweh, what am I doing that you cannot find me something?
No.
So it serves, it only serves a purpose if the president is better.
I think they serve a purpose anyway. Even if the president is just different, I think they serve a purpose.
No. It only serves a purpose if you're happy now. Let's be no.
I think it always serves a purpose. I think it always serves a purpose.
That's a Vincentian Westinian. I'm sucking my teeth in.
I think they always serve a purpose. But yes.
So who? Let's not name names.
Yeah, of course not.
But let's call him something.
We can call him Politico. That's what we'll call him.
Okay. Mr. Politico.
Yes.
How did you and Mr. Politico meet?
We met on Tinder.
Yeah. You know, there's a certain skew and a certain perception about the hookup culture online. Then people who are on Tinder are looking for a little smash and grab, a little robbery of the goodies. That's what Tinder is. It's for a quick smash and grab.
I had avoided Tinder like the plague. And my hairdresser, whom I love, was like, you should try Tinder. I'm like, no, that is about the give and go. That's, exactly. That's the value menu of, I got 99 fit in 20 minutes. Like, no, I'm not going to do it. And he's like, do it. So I was going to Philadelphia for a conference in the summer of 2015. And I was like, how about we put it on our phone? I put it on my phone. And another one of my girlfriends had it on her phone. And it was something to do, like in the airports, in Philly. I was like, let's just see. So I download the app, I put it on there, and it becomes like my go-to, like, I would play Words with Friends, and then I'll hop on Tinder, because it's Philly, so there's literally millions of people around you. And I'm swiping, just swipe, ding, like matches, it's like playing bingo. I do not intend to talk to any of these people, but it's also a bit of an ego boost, because you're like, ooh, he said yes, and you said no, and I said no, and he said yes. So I go through the week in Philly, and I'm like, ding, ding, boom, bing, bing, bing. And you have like kind of one-off, like, how you doing? I'm doing good. That's great. You're pretty. I know. Thanks.
I know. Feeling good.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Yeah, you're feeling yourself a little bit. So it was just something fun to do. And my friend, one of my girlfriends, who was also a teacher, was there, and she was doing it too. And she's like, ooh, look at him. Look at this guy. So, and then I'm back home. So of course I put it aside because I don't actually want to bump into you. And I've like swiped you and then I see you and Target or something. But time passes, rest of 2015 passes, we get into 2016, and I think it's like shortly after, I'm going on kind of one-off dates. There was toward like fall of 2015, there was a lovely New Englander, a lovely tiny Jewish man.
Do we need to take a segue right now?
A slight segue.
Okay, let's go.
Very, very sweet. There were actually two guys. From Match, because I'm still on Match. I've got eggs in different baskets. So there's a couple of guys, New Englanders. One was a New Yorker, and he did business in here around the area. And so he was like, I'm in town. I'd love to take you to dinner. And I was like, hey, I don't know. You're a New Yorker. You're not here. He's like, oh, I'm here every week. And he gave me his business website and business card, and I was able to kind of check that out and go, okay, this person's a real person. This is a real business. You have reason to be here. He named the business he does business with. I'm like, cool, check you out. So on and so forth. And he's like, let's do dinner. And I said, sure. Where? And he names a 5-star restaurant.
Is it?
And I was like, do tell. So we go, and I was like, I walk in, I was like, this is kind of awesome. This place is kind of kick-ass. And we have dinner and we're talking, and he was also Jewish. By the way, I don't know how that happened, but he's Jewish, he's a little older.
How much older?
A little.
10?
A little older.
In his 50s.
No, he's not in his 50s.
I'm asking.
He was like 48, maybe.
Oh.
And I'm 32 at the time. Yeah, or 31. Yeah, so we have this lovely dinner and I'm talking and we're joking and so on and so forth. And I'm me. So, you know, he's throwing on these things and we're disagreeing about some things. And he's like, you disagree with me? And I'm like, yeah, I do, about X, Y, Z. And we were talking about something and I used a Yiddish word. And he was like, how do you know that word? And I was like, well, it's Yiddish. He's like, I know it's Yiddish. I speak Hebrew. I know it's Yiddish. How do you know that word? I was like, well, you pick up words. I'm a words person. That's what I do. And he's like, what does it mean? I was like, why would I use a word that I don't know what it means? He's like, I'm just asking, what does it mean? And so I tell him what it means. And he's like, you're very impressive. I was like, it was a word. Not expecting me to know a word. And he's like, anyway.
You speak so well.
Which was part of me. I mean,
you speak so well.
I was a couple of cocktails in at this point. I was like, you were lucky this is a $12 cocktail and I like it. Otherwise, I would have walked away by now. But we've got dessert coming and it's good. I found out at the end of that date, actually, that he did not have business in North Carolina.
A ruse?
A ruse. That he had flown down to have this dinner with me.
Whoa. So was that more impressive that he did that for you?
I don't know. I didn't know if it was creepy or impressive. And then along comes this other New England. He's from New Hampshire. This other lovely Jewish man who...
Were you on J-Date? Were you also?
No, I was not.
Were you on J-Date?
I was not.
Are you sure?
I'm certain.
That there's not some correlation in the information from one goes to the other?
So this guy, who again, very, very sweet, very lovely, lovely person. So I noticed on his profile picture, he was very neat, he was dressed professionally, that he seemed like a shorter guy. And I was like...
Do you have a thing with shorter men?
I do not have a thing for shorter men, but he seemed...
How tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
But so they have to be a little bit taller than you?
No!
In heels, you're 5'9", or...?
Oh, no, I'm 5'9", flat-footed.
Okay.
So he seemed like he might be like a smaller guy, just smaller frame, smaller build. But I'm thinking still, you know, maybe 5'7". We meet at a bar and came in and he was sitting and I was like, oh, don't stand. I gave him a hug. He was like, what would you like to drink? I ordered an old fashioned. He was very impressed. Drink. But it was a really good old fashioned, like a kick-ass old fashioned. So we're talking and he's talking about this and that and so on and so forth. And, you know, traveling abroad came up. He did school in France for a while. We talk about this. We talk about that. He comes from a kind of established family. He's
Roosevelt.
Talking about moving down here to get away from his family name and just sort of do his own thing. And I was like, that's really cool. We talked through dinner. We talked through drinks. Because, of course, we started with drinks to see if we would want to continue. I was like, he seems nice enough. Sure. So we get up to walk to this restaurant.
And then you noticed.
You couldn't help but notice this man.
5'5 and under?
Ooh, he might have been 5'3. Maybe 5'4.
Gymnast. So, but.
Yeah. Yes. With likely, he had a very tight build. Again, he's a little older. He's 47, 48, 49, something like that.
Do you like him old?
No. It's not necessarily a, you know, an obstacle. Mm-hmm. So we go to dinner. And again, very much like and then I said this, and don't you think this? And I was like, actually, I don't think that. Actually, I think this other thing. Well, what about this? Or, you know, wouldn't you agree? I was like, actually, no, I don't agree. And there was a certain point where I was like, can you be quiet for just a minute? And he was like, what? I was like, because I really want to say something. And he's like, okay. And I start to make my point. So I was like, see what you're doing now? See, I asked you to be quiet so that I could talk. That's what we're trying to have happen here. Because I'd really love to tell you this story, but I don't want to be interrupted. And he was like, you're so sassy. And he sits back, and like calls the bartender. He's like, do you see how she's pushing me around? I like it.
No.
Like, oh,
no. So we're going down that fantasy.
Are you serious?
We're going. She was picturing you in leather with a whip and everything.
I don't
wasn't
know.
It?
He was like, you're so sassy. I love it. You're so smart. You just tell me to
shut
up.
Are white women sassy?
I don't know. I do not know. Because I asked him. I was like, so, like, has no one ever told you to please be quiet? And he was like, no. I was like, so you mean to tell me no one has ever said...
Shut the fuck up.
Well, I didn't say that. But I said, no one's ever said, hey.
That's what he heard.
Be quiet for a minute.
That's what he heard.
And he's like, no, they just kind of let me talk. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I like to talk, too. Can I please talk? And he's like, of course you can. Of course you can. And we, you know, we have dinner, and he orders a bottle of wine. And this goes on for a couple of months. Like, he cooked dinner for me. I cooked dinner for him. He's like, you're fabulous. You're so fancy. You just know what you want. You take life. And I was like, yeah. He's like, you have all these opinions. I love it. I was like, should I not have opinions? And he was like, no. He's like, you just don't take any bull. You just don't take any bullshit. I love it. You don't take any bullshit off
of me. I wish you could see her face now out there in podcast land.
I was like, why would I take bullshit off of me? He's like, I don't know. He's like, I have a strong personality. I was like, no, you don't necessarily have a strong personality. You just have a big mouth. You talk a lot. And he's like, you're so great. You don't let me get away with anything. I was like, you're a very smart guy. You just don't know everything you think you know.
How do you get rid of somebody like that who wants you, seemingly the more you're going to reject him?
He moved back to New England. He was like, I wish that you could come to New England. I was like, I can't.
To keep him in line? Can't you just like, can he call you on the phone? Just like pay you, I don't know, $200 an hour just to whip his ass, keep him in line.
We talk on occasion. But I think.
You have to get rough. You have to get rough verbally with him.
No.
I think he would love it.
No.
I think he would love it.
No.
Side gig. You ever thought about a side gig?
I have.
To be the sassy black woman.
He made me think about it.
Sassy black
woman. He made me think about it.
On the phone.
He did give a very good foot rub, though. I will say that much.
Did you order him?
No, I did not order
him. Did you order him?
No, he might have liked it if you did. I just had on heels, and then I took them off, and he was like...
Were they patent leather heels?
No, they were not patent leather
heels. Oiled up.
Ew.
That's what he was thinking.
That's so gross.
I think that's what he was thinking. That's what he was thinking.
Moving on to normal. That lasted through the fall and the winter of 2015-2016. There's a couple months where I'm chilling. And then I pick back up the Tinder. I swipe, and I see this guy. And I'm like,
Politico.
I was like, he had on a Bernie shirt. And I was like,
you felt the burn.
I like your shirt.
Were you burning?
No, I was not burning.
You were not burning.
I've never burned in my
God
whole life.
Damn it. That's not what I was trying to get
well,
at.
I just want to be, since we're talking about dating, I need to make it clear that Ms. Anthony has never
when
burned
I said
in
you were feeling
life.
The. Okay, let me rephrase that. Were you feeling the.
I liked him.
Okay, that's good enough.
Okay. So we swipe, and I'm one of those people that I'm like, okay, so you're online. Let's make sure you're not a robot or a troll, or let's make sure you're real. So we swiped on like Tuesday. We talked Wednesday night. I had Bible study. Came home. I called him. We talked on Wednesday night. We talked for like an hour and a half. I was like, I really like his voice. He seems very funny. We talked on Friday. We met on Saturday. We met for dinner at 6. We went to a little restaurant downtown.
Can I just stop you for a second?
Yeah.
I'm just, okay, in all our conversations,
yes.
Basically none of these Saturday nights have ever ended well, but I know this will, so I'm just preparing myself now. I'm trying to tell my mind not to envision.
To jump to the horrible.
Correct. Hold, just give me a second. Just give me a second. Hoosah. I'm ready. I'm ready.
So, we meet for dinner, and he looks like he's supposed to look, which is always important, and as did I. And from the jump, I don't know why, we just have like the most blunt conversation about ourselves and dating. He is a single dad, and his children live with him.
Mr. Politico?
Mr. Politico.
How many kids?
Two. 11 and 8.
Okay.
And they live with him all the time. All the time. Their mom generally has them on the weekends, which is, you know, why he was able to do the date, and he's got the support of his family. But so I was like, okay, so normally that is a no-go. Like, you are a father all the time. Like, they're in your house. In your space. I mean, if I was in your house, we would all be in the same space. And I have no kids, but we talked about that. And the really big thing was, I was like, do you actually have time to do this? Because I am honest about myself. I am not selfish, but I am self-advocating. So when I want time, and I expect time, and I expect for there to be a space for me to be a priority. If you're a parent, I get, I'm not going to be your first priority, which was something I had to concede, am I willing to do? Because sort of spiritually, I know I shouldn't be your first priority, that's God. That means I'm cool with number two. Well, if you've got kids, that means I'm going to be number three. I've never been number three in my life. So that took some, are you willing to do this?
How long?
That date lasted from 6 to probably 2. It was an 8-hour
Y'all
date.
Closed the place?
We moved around.
Okay.
We went from dinner to a wine bar. And we left so maybe 7.5 hours, I would say.
Just 7.5.
Yeah, right. Like we met at 6, and I want to say, like, I got in my car to drive home around 1:30. And he had to drive back to Virginia.
So he's out of state.
Yeah, he's out of state.
So even bigger commitment from him.
Exactly.
And do you notice that people are flying hours and driving? What you got? What you got, Miss Ancy?
I'm just me.
Sassy.
I'm just me.
So sassy. So sassy.
I asked about that. I was like, you've also got to add distance to this thing. Like, are you willing to? You are a wonderful person. You've got a lot. Can I be important to you? And not me, i.e. me, as in choose me this day, whom you will love. And we're not talking like, you know, any biblical decorations. But I'm just saying, replace me with anybody. Is there room for anybody to have that kind of time and commitment and so on and so forth? And he was very forthcoming and very practical in how he laid it out that yes, that's the case. And he was able to substantiate that with the facts of his life. And I was like, cool, I want to see you again. And we just kept seeing each other again. And tomorrow will make a year of us just keeping...
High five. High five. When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all... What's so great about Mr. Politico? Besides the fact that he's a good man and a good father.
Yes, those are huge.
He's a man of God, obviously, or else he wouldn't be in your life.
Yeah. That he appreciates me. He really, really appreciates me and lets me know that all the time. And I know that probably sounds egotistical that you're like, I love you because you love me. No, I love that he is open with why he loves me, and he values the things that make me who I am. He values my kindness and my heart and the differences that we share. He values the lists I make and the agendas I make and the budgets I make and the fact that I'm a planner. I mean, the fact that, like, I change my linens and my curtains, like, I have no effing clue why you need to change your bedding or the curtains because the seasons change, but cool. I like it. He's in agreement that they make me happy. It's a
smart man.
Exactly.
Smart man.
And I make him happy. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
So what do you enjoy doing together with him?
We actually talk about, like, the world. We read articles. We share articles all the time. He's like, read this.
All political stuff, or?
Mostly, but a lot of political covers, like, all of life. We talk about financial things and minority issues and women's issues and education issues. Like, you'll see some, I mean, we share jokes all the time, but we're always talking about the world and what's happening. And after the election, we went to the mountains. We had it planned out since August, which he loves. That's what he loves about me. Like, I was
in
like,
case yeah. the worst happened, y'all would have been safe.
It did not matter.
You guys had canned food up there just in case.
He is a prepper. Not a doomsday prepper, but he is like.
Does he shoot?
Yes. Which I was not excited
have
about.
Have you fired a gun with
him? Oh, God, no. I never will. But he has reached his peak gun ownership.
How many?
Like, I said a number, and I was like, I do love you.
What's the number?
But there cannot be more than this many guns.
How many?
7. But he explained all the purposes for the different guns, and I was like, so you do know that you couldn't go over 7 with me? Like, I can't do this. I can't. And he was like, well, I asked him this. I was like, what if you saw a gun you really wanted? He's like, well, I trade out one of the ones I have. And I was like, we have an answer. I can work with it.
Okay. Now.
I mean, he's from Virginia.
With the line of questions and answers.
Yeah.
Folks in podcast land, the more astute people are going to be paying attention going, okay, Virginia, political, owns 7 guns, went to the mountains. Let's address the elephant in the room here, Miss Ansi. Yeah. You dating I mean, he's not urban.
No,
he's not quite urban because he's got 7 guns and
in
Donald Trump, I mean, in the Cheeto Satan's world, he'd be in jail by now. So he's not quite urban.
He's not urban, no.
What is he?
He's rural.
Rural? Country?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this Redding country. No?
Not. I mean, he does love Otis Redding.
Okay.
But he's not Otis Redding.
Miss Ansi, dating white guy.
He is white.
God damn you. We lost another one.
Really?
We lost
really?
Another one.
Really?
Let me get
really?
A moment of silence. A moment of silence.
Really?
For the relationship violence. No, love is love and we're happy for you. But something we got to talk about because we did... In our previous conversations mentioned, and one of the things I hear you laud about your relationship with Politico is the intellectual side. You can have conversations with him. And you didn't have those, per se, with the folks who were the one and dones or the couple dates mm-hmm. and dones. It was just they were not able to engage you.
Mm-hmm.
So address that. How important, obviously, that is because it's a year later.
Mm-hmm.
And he still continues to stimulate you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Mind, body, soul, and bringing that white chocolate your way. Yeah.
So what was the question?
The question was...
I heard a lot of euphemisms about
speak him. About the white dude.
What about him?
Speak about it.
I've been speaking about him. What do you...
Can he hold it down, is what I'm saying.
Sweet dude. I have never talked about this ever with you. I'm not going to start now.
No, was that a concern? Was that an
issue? Was that a concern that he couldn't hold it down?
Now you went that way. I was pivoting.
Pivot.
Was it a concern? Because one of the last conversations we had was about raising black kids
yes.
and raising black families.
That
and the
was
fact that
was a conversation things, only first date.
These things were happening in Missouri, in New York, and you said, I thought about, do I want to bring a black child into this world?
We had the same conversation. Okay. And then we had a conversation about, you know, have you ever dated a black girl? Which you have to ask. And he had, briefly. He was married for, like, 10 years to a white woman. His children are white. So we had the conversation just about, like, being black. And that is a very unique experience. It is not the same as being white, despite, you know, similarities in upbringing and so on and so forth. And we also had a conversation about, like, my kids will be black. Doesn't matter what their father is, my children will be black. I need that to be understood. Like, technically, they are biracial. They're going to love both sides of their family, but it will say black on their birth certificate. They will write down black in school. They will be black. They will be raised as black. I don't care if they look like the back of my palm. My kids are going to be black. We had that conversation. He was like, that makes complete and total sense. Like, that's how the world will treat them. But he was very, very much like, I get it. I understand.
So he gets you.
He gets me, and he gets lots of things. You know, we talked in our first conversation. It came up. He's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I'm a member of the SCLC and the NAACP and, you know, the local Democratic Party. And I was like, this is your lived experience outside of me. Outside of anything else, in your complete and total whiteness, because he is very white, in your complete and total whiteness, this is an earnest interest and belief and action and life plan on your part. You have dedicated your lives to these things in a very real way long before you knew or met me. This is somebody I can build a life with or pursue a relationship with or be with. That was important. That what he said substantiated who I saw in a way that will allow me to achieve and do things and grow. And we can have hard conversations. And in no way does he understand what it is to be black or to live my life. He can recognize things like institutional racism and bias. He can recognize things like double standards in media and advertising and so on and so forth. And I really, really appreciate that. And it's earnest. It's not. So I went out and I read all these books about black people. It was real and it was true and it was earnest. And that's what I... That's probably what I love about him most.
So the compass pointed him in a direction, in the same direction that your compass in terms of lived experiences was pointing to you. Mm-hmm. And y'all met up on the road to that.
Yeah.
That ideal. But let's talk about the world a little bit. Y'all are walking down the street. Y'all are in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. What is, are you conscious of the reaction? As a black man with a white woman walking into a certain space, if I am, even if it's just friends, mm-hmm. I am conscious of the looks I'm getting from people.
Shockingly, I know it's a different standard. It is a very
for black women, do you think it's just for more accepted? It's like, thank God you just found a found a good man, sister.
No. Okay, so here's the deal. I think every once in a while, there will be a, like a, man, couldn't find a brother. Generally, from brothers who weren't trying to actually holler at me anyway. But, you know, on the grand scale of like, but yeah, there was a brother somewhere, even if it won't me, that could have been if you had just given enough time. You know, it's. I think it's kind of an empirical study. They feel saddened if there is a sister who has her shit together.
Lost.
Yes. Even though they
were trying to find.
Yes. It's like on principle. On principle, I am saddened that you could not find a man, even though I ain't trying to be that man. But on principle, it saddens me. Not enough to call you out your name or any bullshit like that. But you know, damn. With black men, I mean, I know, and I'm going to be real. Maybe I won't be that honest.
Be real, Miss Nancy. We expect that.
I will say for myself, as someone in an interracial relationship, and this is going to sound hypocritical as I don't know what, because
speak
it is.
Speak the truth.
I still, at times, look and see a black man and a white woman. I'm like, really? You can find a black woman?
You fucking hypocrite, you.
I know. I own it. I own it. And I know it's not right. But I can still be out sometimes and I'll see a black man and a white woman, particularly depending on, like, the caliber and the carriage of the white woman. And I'm like, really? Really?
If she ain't up to stuff.
Yes!
Then you, okay.
And then I feel away.
Okay.
And even if she is up to stuff, I know like 5-6 black women who are also up to stuff. Why can't you find one of them? But I own that hypocrisy. But it also comes from a very real place. It comes from a place of numbers. There are less of y'all than there are of us. So when one of us chooses to like go out and date a white man, there's like 9 more of me. There's 9 more aunties waiting to feel the call. When one of y'all that is on in the same echelon of the same ilk as Auntie goes out and finds a white girl, you're like, there might be 3/4 of a you ready to step in and replace you. And so we really have lost one. When one of us goes, there's like 9 more women with the credentials and the life and working and blah, blah, blah. That's why we're struggling to find somebody, because there are more of us than there are of y'all. So it feels like a deeper cut, not necessarily for me because I'm in a relationship, but I'm like, I got 7-8 amazing girlfriends that you could be talking to, but you talking to Becky.
The good hair.
And sometimes she ain't got good hair, and that's part of the problem.
She need a weave?
I don't know what she need, but she gonna bring it to the cookout and she look lost. My deuces up. Suck on my balls, I'm heading up. So I get it. Black men, white women, there's all kinds of everybody looking at y'all. But I do think, unfortunately, and I will say, unfortunately, there's a double standard in some ways in terms of black women and white men, depending on the nature of the white man. Of the nature of the white man, I think sometimes that there's an idea when a white man is with a black woman, that black woman has to have her shit together. Like, if, I mean, if they both look simple as hell, like they both left the trailer park together, you're like, well, he the fuck wanted either one of y'all. Cool. Be happy. But when a white man who seems to have his stuff together has chosen a black woman, she has her shit together. And so you're like, oh, there must clearly be a reason there.
To and do. She's got sass. You know, I know that.
I mean, there's that.
She got sass.
I'm just saying, like, there is a benefit of the doubt given to that relationship that it may not deserve, but it's given. Like, the idea is if a white man has almost, in some ways, I won't say this, but if a white man is willing to compromise his status as a white man to make this choice to date not a white woman, clearly this woman must be awesome, because this white man who had white man and who had whiteness and maleness and straightness and all these things in his camp is compromising that power to go over here and pick this other person. They must be outstanding. Versus, I think, the fear that lots of black women have, that oftentimes we see black men who have blackness and straightness and socioeconomic growth and potential and status, we see them doing what we feel like is compromising that status to choose a lesser woman simply because she's white. Big homie better grow up. Me and my ward is about to stroll up. I see them boppers in a... And therein is where the hurt and the judgment lies, that we feel like a black man who has worked really hard to break all these barriers compromises that to choose a partner of lesser ilk simply because they are white. He better call Becky with the good hair.
How numerous or how frequent is
they're
that
not,
reaction?
They're really not. I mean, especially here. I mean, I'm in the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
There's Latino and Asian couples. There's white and Indian couples. The place is so diverse in and of itself. I've never gotten a side eye. But also, I will say that I'm also proactive in that, because one of the other realities that happens, I think, sometimes, and I have talked to my black guy friends about this, is oftentimes a black woman will date a white man, and suddenly black people become, particularly black men, become invisible in public spaces and shared spaces. It's like, I can't speak to Jamal because I'm a Chad, and I have to maintain my Chadness by not acknowledging Jamal. And that's just never been who I've been. Like, when I see black people, I mean, one, here, I mean, they're everywhere, but let's say I go up for the weekend to Virginia, and he's in a smaller town or whatever, so we're in predominantly white space. When I see a black person, I get excited. I'm like, how you doing, brother? You having a good day? Be easy. You need some help? Everything all right here? What's up? What's
no,
good, fam?
No, you don't.
No, seriously. I intentionally speak to, like, every black person I see, especially when I'm with him, because I don't want them thinking that I'm not speaking. So I'm like, how you doing? Y'all good? Have a blessed day. Y'all good? Be good. How's it going, fam? Like, I am intentionally black man.
Where can I get some good barbecue around here?
Pretty much, like, okay. You mixed. How you doing, brother? Y'all be blessed. Have a blessed day. Y'all look good. Like, I'm like, don't get it twisted, because me and Politico are walking down the street. Shit pop off.
Okay.
Y'all got me, right?
Not y'all. Not I got you. Y'all got me.
I'm just saying.
Because this is 60 years after Love in Virginia. It hasn't changed that much, perhaps.
No. I'm just saying. I'm willing to, if shit go down, I'm willing to videotape. I got you. Like, we ain't just going to run. I got you. I'm going to be a witness. And I think that kind of, I mean, it's a hypercompensation, but it quells a lot of that. So folks are like, oh, she's still down. We're good.
Are you part of the Love Congregation?
The
you've
love
been
congregation.
In church. The way we've spoken about the interactions you've had with folks over the last couple of years, it's like you've been in the church, but you're a guest. You just witness it. You're just showing up there. You're not part of it.
Yes.
So now, are you part of the loving congregation, yes, and the fellowship,
yes,
of love in the church.
Well,
you feel good, is what I'm saying.
I do feel good. I'm happy.
Okay.
I am in
That's
love.
That's what I see. I should have, yes, just simplified the question. Do you feel happy?
I am happy. Do you feel happy? I am in love, yes.
Do you feel that this there might be something else going on in this church anytime soon?
It has potential.
Conversations come up?
Yeah.
Sparked by him?
Yeah.
Okay. I get an invitation?
Yeah.
I get to speak?
Perhaps. Possibly.
Perhaps? You said perhaps. You didn't say perhaps. You didn't say perhaps. Perhaps. Is that perhaps. Perhaps with two P's?
Perhaps.
Is that perhaps with two P's?
All perhaps is have two P's.
Touche. You see, I see how those boys feel. I see how those boys feel now. I was trying to make a Donald Trump joke. I messed myself up. Is that perhaps with three P's?
That's what she's gonna say. Yeah, we've had the conversation. It's nothing formal, but it's come up. I mean, it has to. I'm 33, almost 34.
You're so young, though.
I know.
You're so young.
But see, here's the thing. Like, if this doesn't go well, like, it's gonna not go well in this next year, because I ain't gonna spend 3 or 4 years with it just kind of.
You on the clock?
And it's not.
You on the clock? You know you on the clock?
Everybody's on the clock. I'm on the clock, probably. Everybody's on the clock. I'm on the clock with myself. Like,
excuse me.
Got to be here by 34, need to be here by 35, trying to do this.
So when's the next transition then? What's the next transition point?
Sunday.
Because tomorrow the clocks go forward.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Tonight.
The clocks speed up, Miss Ansie. So what's next?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's next?
Yeah.
He on the clock tomorrow?
Yeah.
He an hour ahead tomorrow? Does he know that he's an hour ahead tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, so you better be coming straight with something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spring
is sprung. Spring is sprung.
There's got to be some growth.
There's got to be growth.
Tomorrow makes a year. Got to be some growth.
Y'all met on the equinox?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, flowers blooming. Cherries blossoming.
Some blossoming.
Okay. There's so much more. I want to talk to you about if y'all went to see Get Out, the movie. Where did you go to see Get Out, which is very important. Was it the black cinema? Was it the white cinema? There's so much more, but we're gonna have to wait for another time, Ms. Ansie. But I'm glad to know that the relationship is going well, that you found love. Love comes in all colors, that
yes, it does.
Love in Virginia is real.
It is.
It's not a movie.
Virginia is for lovers.
Anything you want to say to him right now?
I will see you.
A year later?
I will see you tomorrow. I love you.
Okay, and by the time this plays and airs on podcast, it'll be afterwards, so we want to say to him then. You want to tell him, did you like it?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I hope you liked it.
Ooh, suck it now. White boy, you don't even know what's coming.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Politico. You know I'm only kidding. Say bye, Miss Ansie.
Bye, guys.
Ubuntu Radio is out.
Waiting for the Lord to rise. I looked into my daughter's eyes and realized I'ma learn through her. The Messiah might even return through her. If I'ma do it, I gotta change the world through her. Furs in the bins, gramps wanting them. Demons and old friends, pops, they hunting them. The chosen one from the land of the frozen sun. With drunk nights can remember more the sober ones. Walk like warriors, we were never told to run. Explore the world to return to where my soul begun. Never looking back. Or too far in front of me, the present is a gift, and I just wanna be.